All right, moving right along, we're going to hear from Abigail Betke. She's going to share her testimony. So let's give her our undivided attention.
Hey, y'all. My name is Abigail. And I can say that I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from people-pleasing, laziness, and finding my worth in others.
Hey, Abigail.
I grew up in a broken home, as my parents were never married. At my mom's house, I learned from a young age that God was the right path. I thought that by being polite and having a clean room was enough to get me into heaven, but I quickly realized that was far from the truth. At my dad's house, I was spoiled and lazy and constantly disrespected him and his house. I never did any chores, and my room was trashed all the time, and I manipulated him into getting what I wanted. In church, we were always taught Ephesians 6:2, honor your father and mother, but I conveniently forgot about that whenever I got to his house. In my sixth grade year, everything changed. My dad moved to Austin, so I started living with my mom and new stepdad. I started at a new school, and shortly after, my sister was born. I was afraid that I'd become the forgotten middle child social media talks about, and so I let my emotions throughout this time pull me away from God and towards worldly desires. In my seventh grade year, I hit my rock bottom. I still put on the good girl act around people at church and my parents, but as soon as I went to school, I became an unrecognizable person. I completely changed my personality in order to gain friends that I didn't even like. Because of this, I felt alone, fake, and insecure, and I ended up crying myself to sleep most nights. The only comfort I found throughout this time was my small group. I was able to be myself without thinking what the girl next to me thought of my outfit. But if I'm being honest, the only reason I showed up was to talk to friends and eat snacks. I still had no idea what a life following God actually looked like. All of my eighth grade year, I made little changes in my life that slowly grew my confidence. I didn't, however, make any changes to my relationship with God. I gratefully got to be a part of a mission trip to South Dallas, and it completely changed my view of God. I learned more about God's love and patience than I ever had through Sunday school Bible stories. Yet, I still had not fully turned my life to Him. At the start of my freshman year, my mom signed me up for Region for Students. I was apprehensive at first, but I'm so glad that I stayed, because I learned how my deepest hurts affect my actions. God showed me that my struggle with people-pleasing came from a fear of being alone. He also revealed how incredibly lazy I am with homework, chores, and in my relationship with Him. A big part of regeneration is confessing our struggles, and I have been dreading confessing since the first week, but I'm so glad that I did, because my small group leader responded to me with love and kindness, and I felt a freedom that I never felt before. We later sang a song that I had heard a million times over, but this time I completely broke down. I had never before heard God speaking so clearly to me, telling me to lay down my life for Him. And so I accepted God's free gift. You might be thinking this is the end of my story, because I thought it was too. I thought that once I had accepted Christ into my life, it'd be smooth sailing. But boy, was I wrong. A few weeks after Region, I fell back into the same sin habits. I didn't understand why I now had doubts and questions about God that I didn't have before. During this time, my mom assured me that it was normal to have highs and lows in my faith. However, I still let my laziness rule over me and became stagnant in my faith. I told myself that I had my whole life to grow closer to God and relied on the camp highs to get me through. At the beginning of this year, I again heard God's call to me, except this time I saw God everywhere. I heard His call through my parents, Instagram, and even my unbelieving friends. I have since then found time to read God's word daily, and I'm constantly learning more about His goodness, love, and mercy. Because of Christ, I'm comfortable being myself, I'm loved, and I have deep, meaningful relationships with people who trust in Him. A verse that has filled me with hope during the low points is Isaiah 40:31. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. If you can relate to any part of my story, I encourage you to find someone that loves God above everything else. Ask God to place a community in your life that will help you walk through this journey. But ultimately, Christ is the one who heals and restores, which no other person can do. Thank you for listening to God's work in my life.
Thank you so much for sharing, Abigail. That was so encouraging. It's honestly, for me, such a privilege to get to sit up here with you. We've gone to the Dominican Republic the last two summers together with other students as we've served with Mission of Hope. And it's been awesome to just see her faith on display. That's not just, you know, her saying words in front of a group of her peers just because we asked her to share her testimony, but truly Christ has transformed her heart and her life. And Lord used Regeneration for Students as a part of his work in her heart and her life. And so I hope that you are encouraged just getting to hear her just share her story. So thank you. Appreciate it. Let me pray for you and pray for us, and then we'll jump into our Devo for the night. God, thank you so much for Abigail, and thank you for your kindness and goodness and grace in the midst of a broken home, in the midst of just running from you and running towards comfort and ease. And thank you for her authenticity and vulnerability to share with the rest of these students the ways that she's struggled with people-pleasing and laziness. And thank you that your son's blood covers all of those sins and moments of rebellion. And thank you that that is true for every person in this room. And I pray that if there's anyone who does not understand or hasn't yet believed in your kindness and goodness and grace on display in their lives, that they would take heart and take note of Abigail's example tonight. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Thank you, Abigail. Appreciate it. All right. We'll see you soon. Hey, guys. It's me, Jermaine. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from control, comfort, a critical spirit, and performance-based acceptance. Hey, great to be here with you guys. We are on step six in the acronym healing. And the N in the word healing stands for new habits. New habits. And so we seek God daily, our faith grows, and we continue to walk the steps towards healing. So that should be pages 114 through 130 in your workbooks. And we're going to just talk about this for the next few moments. New habits. We seek God daily, our faith grows, and we continue to walk the steps toward healing. And so you can imagine where we are in the process, where we've realized that we needed help. We've entrusted our lives to God. We've admitted, we've assessed the situation, and we've dug deep. We've dug everywhere. And then we've walked through the process of life change, of forgiveness and amends. And now we're getting to this place in the process of recovery where we're almost like rebuilding or setting some new systems and structures in place for our faith to flourish. And so I'll share a little bit more about that as I go through tonight. Well, I want to start with a picture, a word picture, an analogy that I think is really helpful. How many of you guys have ever ran a half marathon or a full marathon? Let me see the hands in the room. We got quite a few people that have done that. Well, if you've ran a half marathon or a full marathon, it takes a lot of training, takes a lot of time, takes a lot of energy and effort, and then you actually, you know, run the half marathon. I've ran two half marathons, one in December 2021 and one in December 2023. Here's a photo from December 2023. There is me, and right in the middle is Mallory. She ran one of those half marathons with me. We did a lot of training. We ran the Katy Trail that one time, the 7 mile run. We were really tired. But anyways, a half marathon or a full marathon takes a lot of time, takes a lot of energy, takes a lot of effort. Takes up a lot of your time as you train for that. And in some ways, Regeneration for Students is like a half marathon or a marathon, in that there's a short amount of time where there's intense effort, intense focus, a lot of energy, a lot of time put into this one particular season in time, right? And so when you think about your faith, going through a program like Regeneration for Students can be likened to a half marathon. But guess what? Here's what you probably can't do. You probably can't run a half marathon every single day, right? 13.1 miles every day is a lot of time, probably 2 hours or a little bit less if you're way faster. But you get the point that it's really difficult and probably unsustainable for your for your limits, for your way of life to be, I'm going to do a half marathon every single day. So instead, what I want to encourage you tonight as we walk through new habits is building in a sustainable pace of continuing to grow in your faith. And so the picture on the right is from this last week. And so I try to go on 3 runs a week on Monday mornings, Wednesday mornings, and Friday mornings. Ellie saw me running in our neighborhood this morning. Shout out to you because it's Monday, so I was running. And so what you see on here is like the last 3 times I've gone on a run. And none of them are anywhere near to 13.1 miles, which is what a half marathon is. And the reason I show you that is because I've ran 2 half marathons in the last, you know, in my entire life. But I've run a lot of 3-mile runs even in the last couple of weeks. Because running 3 miles is so much more realistic, sustainable, and not as much time, energy, and effort is being put into it. And so what I want us to think about is if Regeneration for Students, this entire 12-week program, was a marathon of intense time and energy and focus, then going out of this program into our regular life when we're not in a recovery ministry every single week, what is a realistic and sustainable pace for continuing to walk the steps towards healing, for continuing to grow and develop in your faith? And so that's what this last week's homework was all about, right? New habits. And the 3 lessons that we talked about in these last few lessons were daily Bible reading, committing to community, and keeping short accounts. And in fact, those 3 lessons kind of cover the ideas that I want to talk about tonight. Those 3 lessons that we looked at this last week cover the 3 important habits of sustainable spiritual health. Now, are there a ton of other habits to help sustain your spiritual health? Absolutely. You know, whether that be going to church or praying or being a part of a small group, or there's so many other ways for you to grow and sustain your faith. But in particular, I think these 3 are really important, really helpful, and really foundational if you want to continue to have a sustainable spiritual health outside of this program, which literally ends next week. It's going to be feeling kind of weird the following week when you're not coming up here on Monday evening. And so 3 important habits of sustainable spiritual health. So the first one I want to highlight is daily Bible reading. Daily Bible reading. So think about your daily routine when you're getting up in the morning and getting ready for school or getting ready for work or getting ready for, you know, whatever that day has in store for you. There are certain things that you always do, or that you do most mornings. You probably always take a shower. You probably always eat some breakfast. You probably always just kind of have a great idea of what your day is going to be like. There's certain things that you do every single day before you head out for your day. Like you maintain your body both, you know, physically and like being clean and all of those different things to make sure that you're set up for success throughout the day. And it's in a very similar way we should think about our spiritual lives. Like if you don't eat breakfast for multiple days in a row, or if you don't shower for multiple days in a row, it's going to start to show its effects in your life, both physically, psychologically, in your smell, in all of these different ways. Like obviously you should maintain some of those rhythms. And in the same way, in your spiritual life, without regular attention, our spiritual life will always decay. Our knowledge of, love for God, or enjoyment of Him, our following of Him, or obeying Him, and sharing Him with others, as we, on a regular, consistent basis, cultivate a relationship with Him, that our spiritual health will be maintained. And when we don't have a regular rhythm of maintaining our spiritual health, communing with the Lord, then the natural result is that your spiritual life will decay. And don't just take my word for it. Take the Bible's word for it. In Psalm chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, it's talking about the person that's blessed. It's talking about the person that has divine favor on their life. And here's what it says about that person, the person who's blessed, who is happy, who has divine favor on their life. It says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. And I just love that picture, that imagery of a tree planted next to a river that is just, the tree is just flourishing. It's green. It's bearing fruit because it is planted and rooted next to a source that is providing it nourishment and all that it needs to continue to grow, flourish, and to produce fruit, right? That's the idea that is being presented in Psalm 1, 2, and 3. And it is a very helpful, kind of way to think about your spiritual life. Hey, am I rooted? Am I planted near the streams of the living water of the Savior of the world? Have I entrusted my life to him? Like truly, not just mentally assented and acknowledged that Jesus is the Savior of the world, but like believed it. And ask him to forgive you of your sins and to entrust your life to him. That's what someone who's planted by streams of living water does. And then on a consistent basis, that person draws from this well, this never-ending well of the glory and goodness and kindness and truth of who God is. So let me ask you a question in relation to that. What is your time, your place, and your plan for spending time in God's word? If you're going to sustain your spiritual health more than just a marathon of regeneration for students, but 3 months from now, 2 months from now, a couple weeks from now, if you're going to sustain a relationship with the Lord, it takes you abiding with him. It takes you planting your life where you can continue to experience and gain sustenance from him. So for you guys, what is your time, your place, and your plan for spending time in God's word? For me, like I just referenced, because my daughter woke up so early this morning, my time is in the mornings. And I usually wake up, I set my alarm for 5:15. Actually, I have a light alarm. You guys know what those are? They're the best. So it's not a loud, abrasive, annoying alarm. It's literally, I wake up to the sounds of birds chirping and just a bright light in my room. It's so pleasant. Instead of the ones that on your iPhone. Anyways, that's beside the point. So I wake up at 5:15, my wife does too, and then the goal would be for that next hour that we're like peacefully, quietly reading God's word, praying. Sometimes we pray together. Obviously, that doesn't happen perfectly when a child just wakes up and screams for 30 minutes. But you get the point. That's the plan, right? It's a time early in the morning. There's a place, you know, in our house, maybe in the living room, on the couch, whatever. And the plan for us, for me right now, I'm going through Join the Journey. So I'm reading through Psalms, one psalm at a time. And so this morning was Psalm 131. And I get to read it and reflect on it. My wife's going through 1 and 2 Kings because she's in Women's Bible Study. And so that's our plan. And so the question for you guys, I hope for you all to even discuss in your step groups is, what is my time? What is my place? What is my plan? Do you have one? Do you need help with one? Let's talk about it tonight, one that works best for you. I would imagine 5:15 a.m. doesn't work best for most teenagers, but maybe it should. And maybe even Abigail talking about the concept of laziness and her struggling with that is a challenge for you to consider. But regardless, there are so many options, right? You could get to school early and sit in your car if you drive to school and spend some time with the Lord there. Or maybe it's in the evening times before you do your 3 hours of homework, which is 2 hours of texting and snapping and then 1 hour of homework. But that's another conversation for another day. But during that time, you could be spending time communing with the Lord, truly abiding with him. So what's your time? What's your place and what's your plan for spending time in God's word? Because someone who wants to maintain their spiritual health, they have that. They have a time, they have a place, they have a plan. And so if that's not true of you right now as you reflect on your life, man, maybe tonight might be the night that you come up with one, and we'd want to help you do that. Number two, the second habit of spiritually healthy people is that they commit to community. They commit to community. And we see that played out in Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, where it says, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body. We all belong together. And so all throughout the New Testament, we see Jesus talk about it. We see the Apostle Paul talk about it. We see other New Testament writers kind of create this imagery that Christians are all important essential parts of Christ's body, with Christ being the head. And so there's this sense, this belief that every follower of Jesus is a part of one body, Christ's body. And as a result, we should be seeking to experience the connection to other believers in Christ. And that is an essential way for us to be strengthened in our faith, to be encouraged in our faith, to be encouraged in moments where we're weak, where we're maybe discouraged or tired or maybe running from the Lord, to have people that know you, that love you, that want to invite you back to being abiding next to the streams of living water, right? And so I've been a Christian. I came to know Christ in 1998, almost 25 years ago when I was 11 years old, which is so weird to say almost 25 years ago. That sounds really old, but I'm not old. I'm so young. Anyways, I trusted Christ 25 years ago. And guess what I do every single week? Every single week at 6 a.m., me and the four other guys in my community group for the last 6 years, and before that, it was on Monday nights, every single Monday night with a bunch of dudes. We meet at Chick-fil-A. It's even on my calendar. I think I put a picture up on there so you didn't know I was capping. This is this Thursday, November 7th, 6 a.m. to 8:30. You know where I'll be? Chick-fil-A over in East Richardson, sitting with my other guys. What? Sitting with my other guys. Sure, pull up. It's the one over by Berkner High School. What? Like my wife? Oh, Hannah, your friend? Oh, my friend too? Sure. Anyways, while we're there, we talk about, hey, here's what I'm learning in God's word. Here's how my heart has been tempted to run from the Lord, or how I've actually run from the Lord and fed my flesh. And here's how I'm feeding others. And here's things that are going on in our life or in our marriage. All of these different things. That's what we do every single week. And then once a month we meet with all the couples. But anyways, I give you that example to go. I'm not just telling you to do something that I'm not doing myself. The adults in this room, your step group leaders, they are known, loved, encouraged, challenged, and strengthened by other people in their lives, because for you to continue to grow spiritually and maintain your spiritual health, you need other people in your life. And so who are those people? What's that time that you actually have on your calendar that you don't just like, oh, it's raining a little bit too much, I can't make it, or whatever it might be. What's that place that you and your friends, people that know you, love you, and want to help you follow God, can encourage you with as well? Because for you to maintain spiritual health, there needs to be truly a commitment to community. And lastly, this is just a recap of what we talked about the last couple weeks with forgiveness and amends. Spiritually healthy people, they keep short accounts. Spiritually healthy people keep short accounts through forgiveness and amends. And remember those verses that we read from Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. I'll read them one more time. It says, if you're presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice at the altar, go and be reconciled to that person. Go make amends, and then come and offer your sacrifice to God. And so sometimes the most spiritual thing that you can do is forgive that person for maybe ways that they've hurt you, or go to that person and own the ways that you have hurt them. And that's what spiritually healthy people do. So in summary, three important habits of sustainable spiritual health. If you want to not just have a marathon of spiritual growth in Regeneration for Students, but for a sustainable growth in your faith outside of this time, you want to be someone who reads your Bible daily, who is committed to community, and who keeps short accounts through forgiveness and amends. That's all I got. You are going to talk about those ideas in your step groups here in just a moment. But by way of reminder, next week is the last week of Regeneration for Students. And there's one more week of homework. You're not done yet. Pages 131 through 143. Let's have that done by next week. We won't have our typical kind of structure like we've had every other week. So think about it this way. When we come next week, it really is a celebration of God's faithfulness, of God's grace, of God's work in your lives. We'll have a ton of you, as many of you as we can fit in the time, to share how God has worked in and through you over the course of the last 12 weeks. So make sure you finish your homework and you'll go and discuss those new habits in your step groups. We'll see you guys soon.